Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road this week with our first ever vegan crab cake in preview of the Preakness. We'll be at the land of Kush, courtesy of our friends at Goodwill, as well as Window Nation. I'll be giving away those Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. Used to be a time when the only games of chance you could play were the lottery and the grand old game. And this week, of course, Preakness week, we do the helicopter fly-in with all things horse racing. And, you know, usually with these guys, I don't know, Girardi and I will talk a little Penn State basketball and some Palestra or whatever. McGee and I just talk about the old Paul Simon concerts together. But when I bring Randy Moss on, I have that sort of, are we talking football? Are we talking horse racing? But when I bring him on the third week of May, you can damn well be sure we're talking about a new track and not having the Derby winner and all the things that have gotten me a little fired up around here. Got my little Baltimore thing burred up a little bit. We love having Randy Moss on. You should be following him if you care about the aforementioned and Ravens things and horse racing things. Hey, man, welcome back to Baltimore. How are you, brother? Good to have you on.
Hey, I like it when you're fired up. I like that. That's good.
Nothing pisses off a Baltimore guy more. By the way, on the eve of us maybe getting the World Cup, because Washington doesn't have a stadium, which is pretty cool. We're used to getting kicked around. We're Baltimore, right? But this, I remember when Spend the Buck happened, it was a scandal, you know, that the Derby winner wasn't coming. And the more that I spend time with you and the more I spend time with real people who know what's going on, it's almost a wonder that it's taken this long for the decision to just say, we're not going to run our horse in 13 days. We're just not doing that. And it happened this year, and it's a bad year. I mean, no Baffert. It's not a good time for this to happen for Baltimore. We're trying to really breathe new life into this race and have a new track and sell the hope of this being something permanent and not every other year the Derby winner decides to not come.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Preakness is going to be special regardless, just because of the history and the tradition behind the race and things like that. But this is something that's been brewing for a long time. We've talked about it before. I'm almost positive I've talked about it with a lot of other people, about the spacing of the Triple Crown races and the 2 weeks between the Derby and the Preakness. Horsemen don't like it. And that's really the only reason why not only Rich Strike has passed the Derby, but Zandon, who was battling for the lead with Epicenter the length of the stretch, he's skipping the Preakness to likely wait for the Belmont Stakes as well.
Yeah, Zanacosta, Marty McGee, a lot of money. We've cried about that a little bit earlier this week. But that horse that came from nowhere, that overhead camera later and seeing it, you've watched a lot of races. Have you ever seen anything? I mean, have you seen that in a 6-furlong mutter somewhere along the line where something like that happens? Or is it that much of an anomaly, or that just happened in the Derby?
No, you honestly see that more traditionally. Not really so much in the last 4 or 5 years, but before that, you see that more in the Kentucky Derby than almost any other race. When the Derby is very fast paced, like it was this year, and it was off the charts fast paced this year, the fastest opening quarter mile in the history of the race. And when you have 3-year-olds who are not that experienced, not that mature yet, being asked to run a mile and a quarter at that pace, then you get the combination of sort of an optical illusion. You get the speed horses that are hitting the wall. At the same time, the horses that were in the back of the pack are beginning to move forward. And it makes it look like Rich Strike was going even faster than he was. In actuality, Nestor, if you break down the fractions, this is hard for people to believe. Rich Strike was actually decelerating the last part of the race. But he was decelerating at a much slower rate than the other horses were decelerating. And so it made it look like.
That's what I say when I'm 53. People say, you look young. I'm decelerating at a different pace.
So what was odd about this Kentucky Derby, it was like a throwback to the Derbies of the 80s and the 90s, early 2000s, when the pace was completely out of control. And the horses in back and horses in front just switched places. The horses that were the back eight wound up in the front eight and vice versa. They just went back and forth.
as and then the race ends. I had Donna on earlier. I mean, the horse was incorrigible. You know, I mean, biting the other horse. Like, I have you seen that before? I mean, it was just such a bizarre thing because everybody thought the one and two were winning, and boom, it ends, and now all of a sudden this 80-1 shot for television and for sort of the stun of the crowd. Probably all the people in the infield didn't know what happened. It was a stunning Kentucky Derby in a lot of ways.
It was definitely the outcome of the race was a complete stunner. I mean, look, I am about the most anal person that you'll find anywhere in terms of preparation for a sports event. When we're doing the Derby, I'll literally have stacks of stuff that I will never, ever, ever use. And we always try, and we always do, talk to every trainer, a lot of the owners, some of the riders. This year, 20 horses were in the Derby. 19 of them we did that with. We did not talk to the Rich Strike people at all.
Because they didn't know they were in until 9:30 Friday morning, right?
Right,
day.
Right. Yeah, he did draw into the field late, but even then, there's no excuse for not having the mindset of this is horse racing. Anything can happen. We'll reach out. We'll do our homework. That's the one horse that when he won, we were not as prepared, or I wasn't as prepared. Mike Tirico is always prepared, as I should have been for that eventuality, you know, possibility, whatever you want to call it, but it'll never happen again.
Oh, there you go. A professional admission here on Baltimore Positive. Randy Moss joining us. He will be here for the race. And so you've written about this. You've talked about you and you have talked about this with me. And Pletcher's talked about it at length, being a guy who's been sort of corralled into doing it with a variety of different results for all sorts of horsemen. Is this going to change anything, Randy? I mean, the reason I'm a little burred up is because I spent half the week talking about Adley Rutschman coming up, right? So we have that going on here from a conversational piece. But in trying to find oxygen here for the race and people that don't go or don't associate or don't know or don't feel the tradition or weren't around 20, 30 years ago bumping into Howard Cosell and wondering why Tom Brady. And by the way, Brady and those guys skipped the Derby and went to the car race in Miami. So the Derby has, you know, its own. We're trying to get everybody in. But for what the potential of what this could be, we're talking about building a new building. They're going to pitch the track differently. All of these things that they're selling. We might even get the World Cup here. So 2026, we could open the track, still have the Preakness, have the Kentucky Derby winner, you know, every year, or at least when there's not an injury. Is there any movement in the industry to adopt some of the ideology you've put forward?
Nestor, I will go out on a limb that I don't even think is that much of a shaky limb and say that this is the last year that we will see the Preakness run 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
It should have happened a long time ago. I think Rich Strike skipping the Preakness is finally, I think, going to be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. You know, and it's long overdue. It really is.
So when will this race will be run Memorial Day? And you believe that next year?
Well, I'm not positive it'll be run on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, I mean, it has to be 3 or 4. They have to do something, right? Whatever that would be.
Right. I understand that there is right now an internal talk to try to decide whether to move the Preakness to 3 weeks after the Derby or 4 weeks. I think if they're going to move it, it would be a mistake just to move it 1 week. Because honestly, I mean, trainers hate running back in 2 weeks. They don't really like running back in 3 weeks. So Memorial Day weekend, I know it's the traditional beach opening and there's a little bit of reluctance about that Memorial Day weekend. But in relation to what would make the Preakness the best possible race, I think that's the way to go. And if I hear one more horse trainer say that they're against it because the Triple Crown is supposed to be tough, we don't want to make it easier. I'm going to go ballistic. Look, yes, the Triple Crown is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be very tough. You're supposed to run against the three-year-olds, against the best horses of their generation in all three races. When you have horses skipping the Preakness that would be leading contenders to wait for the Belmont, it makes it easier, not tougher. people, for some reason, have trouble understanding that. Look, let's suppose that Rich Strike hadn't drawn in to the Derby on Friday. He didn't run. You would have had this sensational stretch battle to the wire between Epicenter and Zanta. And Epicenter would have narrowly won, and he would have now come to the Preakness. And you have,
now you have a little affirmed Aladar. You have something to sell a little bit, right?
You have this budding rivalry going on between the two horses. And then what happens? Zandon skips the Preakness to wait for the Belmont. Does that make it easier or tougher for Epicenter to win the Preakness? Obviously, it makes it easier. It hurts the Preakness. Therefore, it hurts the Triple Crown. It makes the Triple Crown less competitive. Therefore, it hurts horse racing. It's really not complicated. And if you had gone back in history, if trainers, it's also a horse safety issue, by the way. I'll get to that in just 5 seconds.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing. The first thing, no animals, no race.
Right. And the reason trainers don't want to run back on 2 weeks rest is because they feel it's counterproductive for the horses. And if you get the trainers off the record, right, a lot of them train for breeders and they don't want to say this on the record. But if you get them off the record, they will tell you that, especially guys that have been around a long time, they believe that today's racehorses, for several reasons, bigger, stronger, but less durable than the thoroughbreds of the 1940s and 50s and 60s, which 1960 is when this spacing of Triple Crown first sort of became permanent.
Can I compare it to baseball and say it's like pitching, that throwing 375 innings probably wasn't like in the best interest of a lot of guys?
I mean, you can compare...
The science of it has changed, and the dynamics of it and the finances of it have been such that we don't run them like a racehorse anymore. You know what I mean?
I think the baseball analogy, Nestor, is more strategic, right? I think athletes in general are more durable and better, human athletes, bigger, stronger, faster than ever before. So I don't think that pitchers are less capable of complete games. I think it's strategy. I think managers have discovered that it's more productive to do things the way they're doing it right now. With horses, they're less durable. They're not built the same, most trainers believe, than the thoroughbreds of yesteryear. So you have a horse safety issue. If they're not durable enough, why force them to do it, right? And that's part of the equation as well. But look,
well, if you love the animal, right? Being invested financially creates the love of the animal to some degree, right? To say that we don't want anything to happen. I love my cat, but she's not going to win the Kentucky Derby. You know what I mean? So I would think for the people who spend time around these animals, you can't be in this and not love horses. I would think.
And I'm not saying no horse is capable of coming back in 2 weeks and running in the Preakness, because obviously Derby winners have done quite well. But trainers don't like to run back in 2 weeks, and they don't like it for a reason. They think it's counterproductive to the best interest of the racehorse. So why ask them to do it? And we see what happens when you do put the Preakness 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby. In today's training methods, 2022, a lot of trainers run in the Derby, skip the Preakness to wait for the Belmont. If trainers had the same attitude they do today, 40, 50 years ago, you very likely wouldn't have had Affirmed versus Aladar in the Preakness. You wouldn't have had Easygoer versus Sunday Silence, or really, let's put Sunday Silence first billing. Sunday Silence versus Easygoer in the Preakness. You wouldn't have had Ali Sheba versus Bet Twice in the Preakness, or you might not have. You would have robbed the Preakness of a lot of the greatest moments in the race's history. It's time to change, and I think it will.
I was on the infield for Sunday Silence. I was 21. There was an ice bath involved after that. It was 94 degrees. It's going to be 94 degrees this week. Randy Moss is here. You know, I almost ran for mayor 2 years ago, and there were people that said, dude, you did the infield at the Preakness. You probably are ineligible, you know. But, the Preakness has changed so much over the years, and this is not a good change, right? And there's a feeling, and this is the beaten-up Baltimore guy in me, the guy who lost the Colts, the guy that lost the Bullets, the guy, you know, the guy that led Free the Birds. This is the angry guy on the radio speaking when I say, does the industry care? Does the industry, like, you speak of the Preakness as it has value, the race has value, it's the second leg of the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown has value. Therefore, like, you're clearly a right thinking guy on this. I don't know that at the point that they wanted to pull the thing and take it to Gulfstream or do whatever they were going to do with it to make more money on it, where our legislature got involved. I had Bill Cole on this week talking about the new thing. We're going to do all this, Randy, right? We're going to $300 million. We're going to build this community, pitch the track, do all that stuff. Is the movement strong enough that people feel the way you feel? I mean, are there enough people to feel the way you feel to really look at this and say in 2026, Randy and Ness are going to be getting together. The Ravens are going to, Lamar's going to have two, like all of that, but there's going to be a new track. There's going to be this 3-4 week, whatever it is. And this industry is going to get its ish together.
Let's hope. I think there is enough movement in that regard. I think there are enough logically thinking people to get behind it. And more importantly, I think there are people in Pimlico ownership and Pimlico management who feel that way. But here's the issue. And really, I think it's the only issue. You've got infighting in thoroughbred racing. You've got no league office. You've got no NFL league office or Major League Baseball like.
I've compared it to boxing.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. Every state in boxing has its own rules and regulations. It's the same way in horse racing. And the Triple Crown is owned and run by three completely separate entities, Churchill Downs Incorporated, First Racing, a.k.a. the Stronach Group at Pimlico, and the New York Racing Association of Belmont Park. Those three do not necessarily see eye to eye. They don't get along very well sometimes. They don't play nicely together sometimes. They are bitter rivals sometimes. Churchill Downs Incorporated really doesn't have a dog in this hunt. The Derby's always going to be run on the first Saturday in May. And right now, when horses skip the Preakness and wait for the Belmont, you could make the case that it actually favors the Belmont Stakes as it is hurting the Preakness Stakes. So I hope you don't have a mentality in New York where they say, why would we want to do something that would benefit the Stronach Group, First Racing? Why would we want to do something to help one of our rivals? I would like to think that the New York Racing Association has enough people that think in the best interest of the sport as a whole and the Triple Crown as a whole, that they will say, okay, you know, we might get one fewer horse in the Belmont Stakes each year, but this is good for the sport, and we're going to do it. But I'm afraid, though, Nestor, that what's probably going to wind up happening is that Pimlico is going to unilaterally come out and say, we are moving to Preakness. Here's what we are going to do. New York, the ball's in your lap.
So why wouldn't the godfathers at your network and the sponsors that put up the money and the people involved in this, and even Churchill to some degree for the good of the sport, you know, get in a room? You're saying they can't get in a room. I mean, literally, you're giving me how the sausage is made, Randy Moss. Like, but if they can't get in a room, I mean, there are people I can't get in a room with. There are probably people can't get, they're just people. We buzz around these NFL owners and trying to figure out how they're one community of 32 competitors to some degree when they need to be. And this is different because it feels like, I don't want to say horse racing's on life support. It doesn't feel that way in Kentucky 2 weeks ago. It feels that way around here. You know, I mean, and like to some degree we're like, this is the moneymaker. This is the breadwinner. This is the thing that opens all the doors for everything else going on the rest of the year. And the industry needs to deem it as important as we do, right?
Yeah, and I think sanity will ultimately wind up prevailing here. Look, making the Preakness, let's say, Memorial Day weekend, putting the Belmont Stakes either 4 weeks later, the last weekend in June, or maybe the 4th of July weekend, would be A, better for the horses, B, better for the Preakness, and therefore better for the Triple Crown, and therefore better for horse racing. C, better for the fans. The fans want to see a great race, best race possible in the Preakness. Sure. So, you know, fingers crossed that I really do think that it will get done for 2023. And, you know, we'll be talking two thumbs up by the time we're doing this next year.
All right, man. Well, we're talking about knocking grandstands down and having tents set up the next couple of years in order to get to the promised land of I don't know, a better Triple Crown, right? A better a better deal, a better setup for the fans, a better setup for the horses, a better setup for television, a better setup for the whole industry. And I certainly, as invested as we are as a community here in Maryland and participating in this and having seen it diminished, greatly diminished, you know, in my adulthood, I pine away, but I don't pine away like I think the Colts are coming back or the Bullets. It's still here. Let's maximize it. And I know people like you care a lot about it, and I appreciate you coming on and really educating me. It's always educational. We're so helicopter, man. We fly in. Next time you and I get together, we'll be talking about football, right? I guess.
Do it. All right. That's fine. I'm a
you
big
got any
Ravens,
Ravens thoughts? Throw me something on the Ravens. Throw me a bone.
I thought they had a really good draft. I think the Ravens quite possibly could be the best run franchise in the NFL historically. I'm a huge fan of John Harbaugh personally and professionally. I don't know him that well, but I've covered the Ravens periodically, and I love everything about them. So I think they're set up to have a pretty good year. And let's talk about the Ravens next time.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like they're on a 6-game losing streak, right? And that creates a whole off season of they're on a 6-game losing streak and the changes they've made. It's almost apologetic about it. Like, hey, we were 8-3, we were trying, and then everybody got hurt. And I'm almost like, when half your team gets hurt, you don't have to apologize in the off season. They've sort of reloaded, retooled, do what they do. And I have every reason to believe I shouldn't make plans in January right now. You know, as a person invested in the team, I think if you live in a city where you feel like you shouldn't make plans in January because you might have some football, that's all you can hope for in May, right? I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Bengals are now resurgent with Joe Burrow. We saw that last year, but the Browns are a little in disarray. The Steelers, you know, quarterback position, everything's a little bit in disarray. The division is still, I think, there for the taking for the Ravens, and I expect them to have a good season.
I do too. Randy, I expect you to have a great broadcast this weekend. I hope you get a cool towel and some shade somewhere, you know? I see your head there. I'm like, get a hat. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm a little worried. It's going to be 94, and I will. We'll see you in the winter circle, man. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Always good talking to you, Nestor.
Randy Moss from NBC. You can follow Matt on Twitter. Football season, horse racing season, where great journalism is. And certainly in the horse racing game, no one knows more. And everyone has referred to the Randy Moss plan that we just got to hear, which includes some, you know, making Baltimore better, which is really, really important. It's what we do around here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.